My name is Mike, and I'm a grateful believer. I'm in recovery from sexual addiction, from drugs and alcohol. Today, I struggle with food and financial chaos. And my name's Mike. I want to start off by saying that each one of you matter. No matter where you have been and what you've done, you matter. And the kind of the title of my testimony is that you matter. And see, someone's already leaving. Aren't testimonies great? I've been editing mine because things are always changing. And at the end, I'll share a little bit what he's been changing my life real recently. In my family, there were 7 marriages between 2 parents. I was my mother's 4th child and from three different fathers. And I was my father's only child from his 2nd marriage. Got that right? Easy. Lots of marriages. My parents separated when I was 8 and divorced when I was 10. I do not remember getting told I was loved, and I do not remember getting spanked at home. My parents were busy trying to keep my older siblings out of trouble with the law, and then I seemed to be left on my own. I was a good kid most of the time, and I thought we were a pretty normal family. In 3rd grade, before my parents separated, we had a family photo taken at my father's graduation. The whole family was all dressed up. I had my hair combed. I was dressed all nice in a suit and tie, wearing an ear-to-ear smile. And I'm here somewhere. And the picture-perfect family. Life was good. I played soccer. I played baseball. I was living the American dream. By 5th grade, my school picture had showed up. I showed up with my hair all sideways, a wild, angry smile on my face, a look that was reflecting that I was getting in fights every day at school. It was at this time that I was sexually abused by a neighbor. So today I'm an adult survivor of childhood sexual abuse. My whole life I denied that that abuse ever affected me. My oldest brother left home. He left the family during this time. He was tired of my dad and his teachers and everyone telling him what to do, so he joined the Marines. You guys are awake. My other brother had a very difficult childhood. He was sent to a boys' home for repeated criminal activity before he was 15, and he never came back home. My father had moved away, so that was just my sister and I left with my mom, her many boyfriends, and then her 3rd husband. My family had fallen apart while I started smoking, stealing, fighting, being sexually promiscuous, hanging out with friends rather than be at home, vandalizing and breaking and entering, all while in the 5th grade. Just before the end of 6th grade, I was in the principal's office once again for fighting at school. The principal had known my older siblings and told me that I did not have to get in trouble too, that I didn't have to fight, and that my life could be better. Then he gave me 3 of the hardest swats of love that I ever received. Remember the paddles with the holes in them? Well, I walked home believing that my life could be better. Looking back, thank God for hindsight, I can see now that God was speaking to me through the pain. I have only been in one fight after that, and that was in the 7th grade. And that was also the only year in school I ever got straight A's. That spanking did me some good. The next summer, I made an oath that I would never smoke marijuana. I was an addict waiting to happen. The next day, I broke my oath, and I smoked for the first time. I loved marijuana. I smoked it every day, off and on. Well, I smoked it off and on for the next 6 years. My mom and my sister moved to Idaho when I was in the 8th grade. My father moved back to town so that I could live with him and stay in the same school. I had started wrestling by then, and I not only loved it, but I did well. I'd also played soccer and baseball, and I didn't want to move away from all my friends. In 10th grade, I asked Jesus in my heart. We had a member of Athletes in Action come put on a wrestling clinic for our wrestling team, and afterwards he shared his testimony with the team about how he'd come to know Christ as his Savior and how Jesus had changed his life. A lot like we do here at Celebrate Recovery. I love testimonies. Afterwards, he shared a little booklet with me and the team captain called The 4 Spiritual Laws. Anyone ever heard of the little booklet called The Some of you are older. God, and they go like this: God loves me and offers a wonderful plan for my life, that all have sinned and fallen short of God's plan, that God sent his son to die on the cross and pay the penalty for my sin, and then I needed to receive Christ into my heart to experience God's love and his plan for my life. I prayed right there in the locker room, and I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and come into my heart. I also thanked him for the assurance of eternal life in heaven. To this day, he has never left me, no matter how far I fell and how much I failed. He promises to never leave me or forsake me. And believe me, you're going to hear that I tested that promise many times. I did not have any church friends, but I started feeling guilty when I sinned and I began living a double life. With the Christian people I knew, I was one way, and with my real friends, I was my old self, and this continued all through high school. I had no foundation or a Christian background. I never thought about drugs or alcohol being a problem, except that they were illegal, and oh yeah, I got kicked out of school for drinking, and I often got sick. I was really good at achieving my goal of getting drunk, and then it didn't take long before the next phase started, and that was getting sick. Anyway, my relationship with God began in high school, but my freshman year in college, I would see God forever change the course of my life. The doctors told me I could not wrestle anymore because of chronic back problems. They told me I needed a spinal fusion, that I'd be on my back 4 months and I could never wrestle again, or I could just quit wrestling and hope it healed. So I walked out of the hospital, I slammed the door on God, on wrestling, and I was very angry. But my Christian friend stuck with me, and he kept encouraging me that maybe God was allowing this to happen for a reason. Please don't ever give up on your friends or your family. You never know when they're going to be ready for change. Amen? A couple months later, I hit my first bottom. We were driving home drunk late at night or early in the morning after a wrestling party. My friend had been driving and stopped at a large intersection. He went out of the car to go to the bathroom over in the bushes, so the police officers pulled up behind us and brought him to the cop car. I had already reached my goal for the night, which was what? I'd already gotten sick. So I couldn't pass the field sobriety test, and the officers gave me a choice to go to the police station with them or start walking home. It was a long walk home that night, and I began to pray, if there's a God and he has a plan for my life, this is not it. I was flunking out of school, drinking all the time, and my life was out of control. I prayed all the way home, wanting to find out what God's plan was. Somehow I'd come to believe that he could do a better job at running my life than I was. The next Friday night, I was up until 6 a.m. reading the Bible. Okay, a little honesty, I smoked a little pot, but I still read the Bible. But the next Friday night, I was up till 6 in the morning reading the Bible, and guess what? I didn't smoke any pot. I soon found myself going to Bible studies, and I stopped drinking, and I stopped using drugs. God had used the pain and the loss to bring me to a point of surrender to Jesus Christ. I was on fire for God, and my faith grew quickly. I got baptized and soon began serving in the church and volunteering in ministry. I wanted to share my faith with everyone I met, and I could not think of anything as fulfilling in my life as serving God. After college, I took my first full-time position as a youth and associate pastor, and soon afterward, I was married. The only example I had of a Christian home was visiting the pastor's home on Sunday afternoon after church. We would eat, take a nap, watch sports, and then go back to the Sunday night service. I somehow believed that in a Christian home, all of our problems would be solved just like they were on Leave It to Beaver. A little prayer in 30 minutes and things would be fine. I didn't even know that Christians fought or argued at home. I practiced what my friend calls the three-step recovery program. Confess, repent, and repeat. Confess, repent, repeat. I never told anyone about my real thoughts and struggles because I didn't think anyone in church had struggles. It's okay to admit you have struggles at Celebrate Recovery. Amen?
Amen.
Celebrate Recovery is making the church a safe place to be you. We stayed in ministry for several years and came to Oregon City in 1988 with two small children. 6 months later, my oldest daughter was diagnosed with leukemia, and we started a 3-year battle for her life. I'd watched Charlotte's Web hundreds of times with my daughter and believed that somehow God would do a miracle, just like Charlotte had done for Wilbur the pig, and that no matter how bad things became, she would live. I prayed every night by her bed after she went to sleep that somehow God would heal her. But she went into remission, but then her cancer came back. They called that a relapse. I'm going to try to just read this without getting emotional. Okay, so after a couple months living in the hospital here in Portland, because she had relapsed, we went to Seattle for a bone marrow transplant. I lived in the hospital with her for 24 hours for a couple more months. It was our only hope of saving her life. After a long and difficult battle, our little Hannah died. I held her in my arms with all of our family there as they turned off life support. She had developed pneumonia in her lungs during the transplant, and although she was breathing like 100 times a minute for days, she could not get any air in her lungs, and she passed away. With my God, all things were possible, and this was not the way it was supposed to end. I did not do very well. My foundation felt like it had been pulled out from underneath me. I felt like I had failed as a father, and I began to wonder and doubt if God really heard and answered prayer. If he didn't answer prayer, then maybe nothing really mattered. 9 months later, after serving the Lord for 10 years, I had to resign from ministry because of my sexual addiction. I've been struggling with sexual addiction secretly when my daughter was sick, and that became unmanageable after she died. I had no idea that sexual addiction was one of the biggest and widespread addictions because most of us struggle in isolation and shame. Those of you who get up here and admit that you struggle with sexual addiction, I give you hands up. It's hard. It's hard. I felt like I was the only one that I struggled alone. If you are struggling, I want you to know that you never have to be alone. I hit another bottom. I had lost my daughter, and now I had lost ministry. My life would never be the same. I felt like I had failed as a father, and I had disgraced Jesus Christ and failed as a minister. I did not matter, and God could never use me for good again. It seemed like nothing really mattered. 7 years later and a few kids later, I found myself into my sexual addiction again. I had somehow come to believe that I was not an addict. I took a 20-question test evaluating that if I might struggle with sexual addiction. Talk about the power of denial. I could answer no to one of the questions out of 20, which meant that I answered yes to only 19. But I held on to that no to prove that I was not an addict. Well, denial didn't work very well for me. I lost my marriage over an internet affair. I was struggling with shame and guilt. Have any of you ever struggled with shame and guilt? It wasn't just that I felt shame or guilt. It was deeper than that. It had become who I was. It had become my identity. I was shame. I was guilt. Every time I'd do well for a while, the enemy would remind me, knock, 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 don't you remember who you are? You're an addict. You're a bad father. You hurt your wife, your church. You drugged the name of the Lord through the mud, and he can never use you again. My identity was that I was not okay. I was fatally flawed. I was unworthy and condemned to live in shame and guilt the rest of my life. I would never matter. I would just give up and make horrible decisions that hurt everyone around me, especially my family, for years, because I did not matter. Over time, my ex-wife realized she needed to leave the state and go back to school and take care of our family. I will testify that she's remained faithful and done an amazing job with our 5 children, my 5 now grown godly children, as a single mom. I thought I'd hit another bottom. All the feelings of losing my daughter were flooding over me, and I couldn't handle the reality that my kids would be living in another state. I was losing all my children, only now they'd be alive in another state. And instead of turning to God with my pain and my struggles, I turned to one of my employees. He was obviously using some kind of drug, and I asked him for whatever he was having. I had never heard of meth since I had used drugs when I was a kid more than 20 years earlier. I thought I knew what I was doing. The first time I used it, I loved it. It made me feel the way I knew I was always supposed to have felt. I worked for 12 hours the first day. I spent $120 on it the next morning. The first weekend, I spent $420. I was an addict waiting to happen. I knew I was in trouble and that if I didn't stop, I could lose everything. One thing I found out, though, was that people didn't really like staying up all night talking about God when they were using meth. Boy, could I talk when I was on speed. But I talked about God because I knew that he was my only hope of ever coming back. I met my second wife while using. We stopped and got clean together, and after about a year we got married, and 6 months later we relapsed. We talked ourselves into believing that because we had some clean time that we could become normal meth users. Eventually, after 5 years of meth use, we'd lost everything. We went from owning a farm on 7 acres and running a successful landscape business to a 5-bedroom rental house to a 2-bedroom apartment to renting a room in our drug-addicted kid's house. We had lost our landscape business, and then we lost our drug house. The money was not going for rent. Who would have known? We ended up homeless in the winter, and after 10 days, I ended up walking the streets of Oregon City all night, looking for my wife in a warm place to sleep. It was my second and last long walk in the night. But it was the first week in February, like 20 degrees outside, too cold to stop walking. It seemed like as all I had left in my life was pain. I'd been using because I could not face my reality. The only thing that had mattered in my addiction was how I felt, and the only time I felt good was when I didn't feel anything at all. That night, I was not dressed for being out in the cold, and it was so cold that it hurt. I finally called out to God through the tears and the pain, and I heard God calling like on the Verizon commercial, "Can you hear me now?" I could hear God lovingly calling me through the pain. I began to laugh, and I knew that God was calling me home. I'd written in my journal a year and a half earlier, I did not know how to come back this time. I was so far out there in my addiction that I didn't know how to come back to God. But God had been calling me home through the pain. He kept his promise to never leave me or forsake me. They say God whispers through pleasure and shouts through the pain. That was 11 years ago, February 8th, my last night of using. Praise God. Praise God. I soon found myself at the altar of our church, weeping and repenting. I had suffered horrible consequences from my poor choices and addictive behavior. I'd hurt way more people than I could ever have imagined, and I drug the name of the Lord through the mud. But he called me home, and he's brought me so much healing through working my inventory and making amends and working the steps here at Celebrate Recovery. When I'd been in ministry before, I believed that God had made my feet beautiful because the Bible says how beautiful on the mountain are those who bring good news. And at our church, when we say good news, everyone says good news back. So we said good news.
Good news.
Thank you. At the altar, I asked God to make my feet beautiful again. I soon shared my testimony in front of the whole church for the first time after 13 years. A few weeks later, I'd asked the pastor and a trusted friend to pray with me. The first question I asked him was, did he believe that God heard and answered prayer? It's become part of my identity. After we finished praying, the pastor went upstairs and came down with a wash pan of water and a towel. And he asked me to take my shoes off, and as he washed my feet, he said that God had made my feet beautiful again. Amen? Amen. I knew if I was ever going to stay clean, I needed a Christ-centered recovery program. I had tried others, but always felt like my faith was left out, and I was not free to be myself as a believer. So we started to hold little Bible study recovery groups and spend lots of time at the house of prayer. While I was there early in my recovery, one of my former student leaders, who's now a missionary in Israel, she said, "Mike, what lie did you believe that allowed you to go from being in ministry full-time to being homeless and strung out on drugs?" I instantly answered, because I did not matter. God could never use me, and my life didn't matter. Then she asked me what the truth was, and I said, "I do matter. And if I matter, then each one of us matter." It took about a year and a half of meetings before we became a real Celebrate Recovery. I worked through the steps and found in Celebrate Recovery, the healing began when I admitted that my life was unmanageable. God began to restore my hope, and when I surrendered my will to him, he gave me the strength to go through each room of my house and do a thorough inventory. When I did my fifth step, I was expecting rejection when I shared my true self. What I found was acceptance and grace, and that I was not alone. I am a work in progress with my character defects and making amends, especially with my children. I still do a daily inventory, and I take time for God and meditation each day. I cannot help but carry the message of Christ and celebrate recovery wherever I go. The amazing restoration that he's done in my life is undeniable. And you know what? It's good news.
Good news.
I said it's good news.
Good news.
Thank you. It is good news.
Good news.
At CR, it's okay to be a believer and struggle with life issues. His power is made strong in our weakness. God began to call me to ministry again and to serve him, this time to the poor and the needy and those who needed recovery. I knew that if God was going to use me for good, he was going to have to change me from the inside out. That's why it's so critically important for me to spend time with Jesus, give him a chance to change me and to grow me. I felt so useless. I had a list of reasons why God could never use me again. God was changing my heart. And if I would be honest, he would take all those reasons and turn my failures and weaknesses into ministry tools to help other people. Today, he uses me the most in the areas I failed at the greatest. Through Celebrate Recovery, God is allowing me to be and do what I was created for. Today, when I struggle, he's given me the tools to work through my struggles and to continue to participate in my recovery. I have a better relationship with my children, even though I do not get to see them enough. There's still a lot of healing from the consequences of my addiction to take place with my children, especially my oldest daughter that isn't talking to me. Today, I pastor a church called Free on the Outside. God has taken what the enemy meant for destruction and transformed it into something good, the saving of many lives. God is calling his children home from behind the prison wires. He's calling them home from living on the streets, under bridges and in tents, redeeming the least and the last and the lost. We have 20 beds as part of our clean and sober safe house for men getting out of prison. Celebrate Recoveries are all over the state, raising up volunteer mentors ready to welcome people home who have found Christ inside through Celebrate Recovery. God is restoring his children and bringing them home to the church from behind the barbed wire fences. Today, at least 2 Celebrate Recoveries that I know have been started by people who found Jesus inside. And many more are sharing their testimonies today whose lives were forever changed because of CR inside. Amen?
Amen.
What encouragement can I give to the newcomer? Give Celebrate Recovery 100% for 90 days, and if you are not completely satisfied, we will gladly refund your misery. Keep coming back and don't quit before the miracle happens. I have discovered what the most important step in the 12 steps are, the one that you're working on. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Work your program because you're worth it. Allow God to heal your deepest wounds and failures by working through the step studies, getting a sponsor, and building a team of accountability partners. This is where the true healing and the restoration takes place. The areas where God heals you the most will become the strong points in your recovery, and he will lift you up to help others in that same area of recovery. Find a place of service here at CR and begin to give back. There's always opportunity for service at Celebrate Recovery. Serving others is how we begin to fulfill the plan that God has for us and how we start living the life we were created to live. I like to say, sign up for God's search and rescue team. Go back out through the fog and be God's lighthouse used to bring his children safely back home to shore. We need more volunteers who are passionate about the recovery and who want to reach out to those not just still inside the prisons, but those still out there in their addiction, those who are struggling with life's hurts, habits, and hang-ups. If you want to volunteer, talk to your Celebrate Recovery leaders. I know that God hears and answers prayer and that I matter to him. He is more interested in my personal recovery and continued healing than he is in what kind of ministry I do. If I matter to him, then you matter to him. If he can take my failures and my pain and use them to help other people, then he can take your life and give it meaning and purpose and allow you to fulfill his plan for your life, always through service of helping other people. Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. What the enemy meant for evil, God has used for good. The enemy led me to believe that I did not matter. Through Celebrate Recovery and Jesus Christ, God has shown me that I do matter and that he is using it for good. Last year, I made it back to my little Hannah's grave for the first time in 23 years. That's an amen. I was also asked to share on the same church platform that I had to resign from 23 years ago as a pastor. It's a sign that God is faithful to restore all things that the enemy robbed in our lives. I've been a mentor in Washington County for the last 5 years, believing God was for. I worked with all the guys getting out of prison coming to Washington County, and I lost that job about 5 weeks ago. To be honest, I believe that God works in our life through pain, sometimes through discipline, sometimes just because of discipline. That's what I usually, the way I usually learned, but sometimes just pruning. And I believe God has been pruning. And so instead of allowing the enemy to take my failure, getting fired from my job, I'm going to give Christ the glory, and I want to serve him full-time as a pastor for our church from the outside. And I don't want to be a mentor just for guys getting out of prison. I want to be a mentor for Jesus and help bring God's children home full-time. So I'm going to keep being a mentor. I'm going to keep being a pastor, and I'm going to go inside representing Jesus Christ, not just the county. Thank you for letting me share, and remember, work your program here at Celebrate Recovery because you matter.